wonderful. I failed to mention earlier, my boys aren't feeling too well this morning, so if you'll keep them in your prayers. They've had something for the last few days. The scripture reading for today is found in Luke 19, 1 through 10. Thank you again for the opportunity to preach, and a special thanks to those who showed up knowing Dr. Reed would not be here and that I would be. Today we are talking about a small man with deep pockets. Luke gives us laser-like focus into the story found in Luke 19, 1 through 10. Luke sets up a portrait of who Zacchaeus is, a character that fits outside of the norm, as Luke likes to do. God was prodding the curiosity of old Zacchaeus. The Holy Spirit is at work from the very beginning of the story. Ephesians 4:28 says, "Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need." Let's hear a story about a sinner who was a tax collector, a thief, but one who would display utmost joy. Hear now God's word, Luke 19, 1 through 10. "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, 'He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner.' Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" Let's open up in a word of prayer. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Dear gracious God, our heavenly Father, please be with your word. May the word of God be preached today. May it not be my words, Lord, but yours. May we learn more about this man Zacchaeus, more about us, and more about the God whom we serve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. I'll spare you the rest. When I was in seventh grade, I hit a big growth spurt. I went from the class average to one of the tallest. So I played the post in basketball and really enjoyed it. Well, when high school hit, I didn't grow much more. And I watched as all my friends caught up with me and then passed me. Well, when I got to college, I was around tall guys all the time. One of my best friends is 6'7". And I remember sitting in chapel at Covenant College on many occasions with this guy sitting right in front of me. I couldn't see who was playing the music, and then I really had to lean over to see the speaker. Now he's married to a 6'2 volleyball player, and they just had a baby. So there again, both Winchester and Sutton, I hope, aren't stuck behind that guy at Covenant Chapel. At times, I really wanted to see what was going on, but couldn't. Has this ever happened to you? Maybe at a concert, maybe at a football game, in line at the grocery store, or any spectacle. The thing to do is either get on someone's shoulders or seek higher ground. And that's what Zacchaeus did. He wanted to see this Jesus people had been talking about. He did not have the option to peer over the crowd, move through the crowd, or get on anyone's shoulders, for he was a tax collector and was hated by the people. To set the context of the passage, in chapter 15 we find a shepherd who leaves the 99 to go after the one. We find a woman who goes after the lost coin, and a father who goes after his prodigal and beloved son. In chapter 18, Luke has just talked about the persistent widow, the blind man healed, and now a tax collector. What do all these individuals have in common? They were social misfits, outcasts, a burden on society. Jesus cares about the widow and the blind man. Now the rug is pulled out from under us as Jesus goes after the tax collector. I have 2 points today. One, God initiates, and two, God completes. Point number one, God initiates. Jesus calls Zacchaeus. Verse 1 says, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho." What do we need to know about Jericho? Well, it's an Israelite history where the walls came tumbling down. I won't sing you that one. They marched around the city, and on the seventh time they shouted, blew their trumpets, and the walls came tumbling down. But during this era, Jericho was again a beautiful city. Sycamore trees lined the town. They were known for their balm from the balsam tree, which makes me think of Plot Balsam, a well-known mountain peak in Waynesville, North Carolina. And important for today's sermon, Jericho was a central trade location where people exchanged goods, and high taxes were also ensued there. Well, who collected those taxes? Tax collectors, of course. And verse 2 says, "Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich." Whenever "behold" is said in the Bible, pay attention. This stands out. Luke's laser-like focus is zeroing in on Zacchaeus, this chief tax collector. So let's hear more about this man. Why were tax collectors hated? Well, who likes to pay their taxes? Who likes people who collect taxes? And who in here would like to be taxed by an outside power who is oppressing you, who you do not support, but who has laid claim over your land? Let's see a show of hands. That's what I figured. And Rome would not even go in there and collect it themselves. They would hire locals to get the taxes for them. Imagine if old Billy Bob of Alkaloo was in charge of going to your home and getting your taxes from you, and get enough not only for Rome, but enough for Billy Bob to live more than comfortably off of. And Billy Bob wasn't even, I hope there's no Billy Bob of Alkaloo, by the way. And Billy Bob wasn't even hired directly from Rome, but was hired by a local who was hired by the chief tax collector, Zacchaeus. So the way that collecting taxes worked was, Rome hired tax collectors over certain areas. Those tax collectors would not go door to door, but hire maybe 8 others under them. And if those 8 could, they would hire 2 or 3 others to collect the taxes to give to Rome. So the people were getting brutally taxed because extra earnings went to the collector, who didn't have to be honest in how much he kept, and some went to his boss, who kept what he wanted, and sent some to the chief tax collector, who kept all that he could, and sent Rome the rest that Rome needed. So the tax collectors would become very wealthy by dishonest means. Rome would get richer, and the people would be crushed. Zacchaeus, as the chief tax collector, didn't have to do anything if everything was working properly and he was getting filthy rich, not even coming close to going door to door. If it got bad, he could always just send the Roman soldiers in. Zacchaeus, who may have grown up next door to you, was now unbelievably rich because of your taxes that were supposed to go to Rome, that you never even wanted to go to Rome in the first place, that barely made it to Rome because it was used to make tax collectors more wealthy. Thus, Zacchaeus was a hated man. But his curiosity compelled him. Verse 3 says, "And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature." The Holy Spirit is working on Zacchaeus. He wants to see Jesus. He can't see through the crowds because he is short. And he can't get through the crowds because he is hated. So he hastily ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus in anticipation. The sycamore trees provided much shade and had branches low enough to the ground for old Zacchaeus. His climbing up a tree shows eagerness and not caring about what others think of him. What kind of a day was Zacchaeus having? We don't know, but his life was about to be forever changed. Just to see Jesus, see what all the talk was about. Verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. Jesus saw him. There are many parallels to draw from Zacchaeus and the rich young ruler that hopefully you will pick up on the further we get into the text. But notice that Jesus saw him. Jesus really saw him. It is in the same way with the rich young ruler where the text says Jesus looked at him and loved him. Wow, Jesus sees and he does the same for us. So Jesus really sees Zacchaeus. He loves this chief tax collector and calls him by name. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Must? This must is an imperative, a command. Does this sound polite to you? But Jesus knows what he is doing. Jesus is bringing salvation, irresistible grace, we might like to say. And the Holy Spirit is reflecting the joy manifested by Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus makes haste and comes down joyfully from the tree. He receives Jesus joyfully, in joyful obedience. I get to show hospitality to Jesus? Jesus is talking to me? He sought me out? He wants to eat with me? Zacchaeus is filled with joy. Don't lose sight of this, Christian. Zacchaeus has ran ahead, climbed a sycamore tree, is eager to see Jesus, and Jesus sees him, calls him by name, and declares that he is coming to his house today. And then it all starts to sink back in, the familiar tune. But wait, I'm a tax collector. He couldn't want to dine with me. And he hears the people murmur, the murmur he has heard since he accepted the job, or ever since he was born short in stature. He knew what it was like to get picked on. He lived it. When they saw this, they all complained. All of them. Not just the Pharisees, they all did. He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. They say, they are identifying this man with his sin. They aren't just calling him a sinner, but a man who is a sinner. Your identity is not your sin. There is no helpless case. Zacchaeus shows us that. And once you are redeemed, there is no gay Christian or lustful Christian or covetous Christian, etc. You don't find your identity in your sin, but in Christ. You are a new creation. But here the people are quick to point out his sin. God has just extended grace to him, and none of the people like it. God's grace is all around us, but we disregard God's grace until it is given to others, and then we complain. I am just like the people in the crowd. I'm not the eager one to see Jesus. I'm the one who makes sure this chief tax collector doesn't make his way through to see the king. However, Zacchaeus is eager. He's eager to see Jesus and is beginning to understand more about the kingdom of God. Zacchaeus may have climbed the tree, but Jesus initiates the personal connection. Who is seeking whom? Zacchaeus is on a quest to see Jesus, and Jesus has been on a quest to bring salvation to Zacchaeus before the foundation of the world. Point number two, God completes. This may be a shift in the scene. They may be already in the home of Zacchaeus when he stands before the Lord and says to him, look, or rather, behold, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. No one would return fourfold. Giving double back was the maximum amount given in the Old Testament. Wow, what a confession. Behold, Lord. He says, I give, not I will give. How often do we say, I will give? But Zacchaeus' action was in the present, the immediate future. He will go and do it as soon as possible. He repented of his sins of omission by giving to the poor, and his sins of commission by returning fourfold. Zacchaeus found that money didn't satisfy. Only Jesus satisfies our deepest longing. There was repentance that leads unto life. Do we acknowledge our sin before God? Are we generous in heart and mind? Do we care for others? Does our faith lead us to go above and beyond what is expected of us? And Jesus responds, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of God has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Today shows immediacy. When Jesus uses the word today, it was salvation. And when Luke records the word today, it often refers to salvation anyways. The shepherd found his sheep, and today that sheep has salvation. I think Paul is the likely candidate, but still, hear what the theologian J.C. Ryle says. If ever there was a soul sought and saved without having done anything to deserve it, that soul was the soul of Zacchaeus. Unasked, the Lord stops and speaks to Zacchaeus. Unasked, he offers himself to be a guest in the home of a sinner. Unasked, he sends into the heart of a publican the renewing grace of the Spirit and puts him that very day among the children of God. Today, Jesus says that salvation has come to the home. The Philippian jailer, Paul says, you and your household shall be saved. Does this take away from personal faith and relationship with Jesus? No, but more of an emphasis should be placed on a corporate faith and a covenant relationship. The head of the home is saved, so the household is saved, because they will be instructed and hear the things of the Lord. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Maybe even a more unlikely candidate for salvation, more unlikely than Paul, more unlikely than Zacchaeus, is the thief on the cross. What did he do? And unlike Paul and Zacchaeus, what would he be able to do for the kingdom once he is converted? Nothing. But as the Savior of the world hung on the cross, as the people were hurling insults at him, the thief on the cross said, I deserve to be here. This man has done nothing wrong. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And how does Jesus respond? Today you will be with me in paradise. And as Jesus was suffering hell on the cross for us, as the Messiah, the Savior of the world, was dying, as darkness was covering the sky, as the universe was being shook, the angels were rejoicing over the salvation of the thief on the cross. So great is salvation, and Zacchaeus found it. Rejoice. It's still December. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. Jesus has come to save his people from their sin, to seek and save the lost, to make people sons of Abraham, to bring them into the family. Galatians 4 says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Amen. We are sons. We receive the inheritance. We are brought into the family of God. The fullness of time came, and God sent forth his Son to be born of the Virgin Mary and laid in a feeding trough with animals and shepherds, the King of the universe, born into poverty for you and for me and for Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is changed. The name, his name, means righteous one. But this man knew he was not righteous. He knew he was a sinner. This not so righteous one needed a righteous one. And that was Jesus, the only righteous one. The people would not have been able to understand how a tax collector fits into the family of Abraham. They would not have seen it. They didn't understand. But this family would reach across every divide as Jesus reaches across every divide. Zacchaeus was now a true Israelite by faith, which is stronger than blood. Jesus would soon die for this wee little man. Jesus is after the lost, seeking and saving the lost. It sums up his ministry. And notice in verse 10, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That which was lost. Does that ring a bell? As Luke recorded these words, he was recounting what he had just written a few chapters before. A shepherd who leaves the 99 to go after the one lost one. And when the lost one is found, he calls up his friends and neighbors, and they rejoice with him. He also remembered Jesus' teaching on the woman who searched everywhere for her lost coin. And when she found it, she rejoiced. And she called and invited her friends to rejoice with her. And the father who runs after his prodigal son greets him, kisses him, and serves a banquet for him. For his son was lost, but now is found. They celebrated, rejoiced for salvation. And when the shepherd finds his lost sheep and calls his friends and neighbors to the Lord, the Lord says, "There is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 who don't think they need to." And when the woman with her friends rejoices over the lost coin, the Lord says, "There is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God when one sinner repents." One. And the Father rejoices over his Son, who was lost and now is found. The crowd was like the older son, and Zacchaeus is like the younger. An undeserved banquet. Jesus eats with tax collectors and sinners because they have a glorious response to the good news of the gospel. They respond in a positive light. Jesus doesn't have to convince them that they need a Messiah, that they need a Savior. Be glad, for salvation has come to the household. Zacchaeus, the not so righteous one, becomes the righteous one, not because of his righteousness, but Christ, which his righteousness is laid over him. In just a week, Jesus will go to the cross. Salvation will be paid for in full. Jesus would be flogged, beaten, scorned, shamed, whipped, nailed, and hung on a tree for Zacchaeus, for you, and for me. He is 1 week away, and with 1 week to go, he rejoices with this tax collector that salvation has come to his house. The sheep joins the number, the son is of Abraham, the father embraces the son, the shepherd gathers the one. Rejoice. He enters our home and changes our hearts. So how do we respond? Our shorter catechism states, effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, he doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. Let's repent as we enter another year, another decade. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, not the one that meets all their New Year's resolutions and gains perfection, but knows they are a sinner in need of the good shepherd. Repent of dishonest income. Surrender to Christ. I remember Dad saying in revival this past time, the key is not commitment, it's surrender. That stuck with me. We can talk about commitment all we want in being committed to church, but commitments run dry, and you could be as committed as you want, but on January 1st, but by March, what happened? You lost your commitment. I remember in the first year of us being here, we went and ate somewhere with Joe, Gina, and the family. On our way out, little Joe and I got gumballs from the machine. Little Joe handed one to me, and I ate it. The flavor burst forth. Then I realized, just 5 months before, Faith and I had made a New Year's resolution not to chew gum. It was broken then, and the bubble gum sure was good, and I haven't looked back since. My commitment had been forgotten in that red, juicy ball of sugar. But surrender is key with church and church involvement. Surrendering to Christ and the life of a Christian is surrender. This new year, surrender to Christ alone. And certainly if you have wholesome New Year's resolutions, aim to stick to them, but make one of them surrendering to Christ. And when you fail to surrender, surrender again. Respond to His grace and mercy like Zacchaeus did, in hospitality, in generosity, and in joy. We have an opportunity to display this on January 1st as we outreach to the community, as we serve, love on people, and share the good news of Christ. There could be many people you run across throughout your days who seem like unlikely candidates and converts. But some of the people you least expect have an interest in Jesus. Don't let your judgment be a deterrent. How many unlikely people are sitting up in a sycamore tree waiting to hear the good news, waiting to be shown Jesus and the love of Jesus, looking for a banquet, trying to see Jesus? May we never lose sight of Him. Open our eyes, Lord. Let me end with a story. Philip Ryken was the president of Wheaton College, who is the president of Wheaton College, tells a story from the Wycliffe Bible translators in Brazil. He says, "The power and the grace to repent only come through His cross, the cross where He died between two thieves for Zacchaeus and all other thieving sinners who trust in Him for salvation. One of those sinners was saved through the work of Wycliffe Bible translators in Brazil, where a team of linguists had finished translating the book of Luke into the language and started recording the soundtrack for the Jesus film. They write, "When it came time to record the section where Jesus called Zacchaeus, the only man available to read the part of Zacchaeus was someone who was known as a scoundrel, a man who was always looking for ways to profit at the expense of others. When this man recorded the part of the story where Zacchaeus repented for his sins, he could not bring himself to say the words, 'I stole,' but instead said, 'He stole.' When this was pointed out to him, he denied that he made a mistake and refused to record this part again. This is the difficulty we all have. It is so hard for us to admit our sin. But eventually, after much discussion, the man relented and agreed to record his part properly. When the recording was finished, the entire village crowded into the school to see the film. Every eye was glued to the screen for the entire 2 hours. Toward the end, when the film shows Jesus struggling under the heavy cross, showing the price He paid for our sins, the man who had read the part of Zacchaeus could be seen in the middle of the crowd with tears streaming down his face. The man's thieving heart was touched, and his life was transformed by the Savior who died for his very own sins. Rejoice with heaven when anyone, and I mean anyone, is saved, when the lost are found. There was a time when you were lost. God found you, for He died for you as much as anyone. And for those of you who are still lost, believe on the Lord Jesus. Join the number, just like the wee little man." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for the wonderful gift that you have given us. May we never take it for granted, but rejoice every day in your faithfulness, in your love, that you come after us, that you care about us, that you love us. Thank you for the story of Zacchaeus. Thank you for his changed heart. Lord, we thank you that we can see that in your word. May we live every day to serve you, and may you give us perseverance and motivation in this new year, this next decade, and the rest of our lives to surrender wholly and fully to you day by day as we carry our cross and as we love others around us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.